It's 9:05 at Q92 Radio.
It's time for the Saturday Morning Baseball Coaches Show. I'm Paul Ramo for Q92 Sports. This morning, we will visit with area baseball coaches to see how their teams did this past week and what's on the schedule for this week. Now, the Saturday Morning Baseball Coaches Show, right here on Q92. A good Saturday morning, everyone. Paul Ramo here in the studio at the Baseball Coaches Show. We just want to remind everybody, big Region 9C baseball tournament continues today in Madison at Madison Memorial Baseball Field. Beautiful day to catch a baseball game. Morris will take on the Mineota Mudhens at 2 o'clock this afternoon in Madison, and that is for a trip to go to the state amateur baseball tournament. That's at 2 o'clock, and then the winner between Morris and Mineota will take on the Madison Mallards around 4:30, and you'll hear that baseball game right here on Q92. And then the winner of that game, the 4:30 game, will take on the Clinton Cards for the Region 9C Championship on Sunday at 11 o'clock, also at Madison Memorial Baseball Field. We'll hear from Coach Matt Munson of the Mallards here in a little bit. Just want to give you an update on the Junior Legion State Tournament. Montevideo, they lost to Sibley East yesterday in the first round, 2-1. Griffin Epema threw a no-hitter for Montevideo, but they lost, 2-1. Other games, Holding Ford shut out Caledonia. Lee lost to Laverne, 5-1. And the host team, St. Charles, they're automatically in the tournament because they're hosting. They beat Parker's Prairie, 13-3. So Montevideo moves into the consolation brackets. They actually started playing right now at 9 o'clock. They're taking on Caledonia here at 9 o'clock. So best of luck to Coach Tim Epema and the Montevideo Junior Legion team. We'll take a break and hear a word from our fine sponsors, and then we'll hear from Matt Munson of the Madison. This.
Hello, plain awesome. Sparkling ice is a fizzy, flavorful, and not bland beverage without all the calories. They're one of the biggest brands in the sparkling water category. If you're looking to put a little sparkle in your step, look no further than the delicious lineup of waters. Sparkling Ice, distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
You'll find quality meat for your family's table at the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson. Stop by right downtown or give them a call, 320-769-2238. Country Butcher will accept credit cards, checks, EBT, SNAP, and cash. Store hours Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Sunday by appointment. That's the Country Butcher in Dawson. They're a cut above the rest.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information. Information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Paul Ramo here for Q92 Sports. Join me Saturday afternoon for Madison Mallard baseball game, 4:30 at Madison Memorial Baseball Field. Come on down or tune in to Q92 at 4:30 on Saturday. Let's talk with Matt Munson of the Madison Mallards on the Coach Saturday Morning Baseball Coaches Show. Matt's in the studio. Good morning, Matt.
Hey, good morning, Paul.
Well, congratulations to you and the Mallards. That's exciting news.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, very exciting. You know, it's we've been close a few times the last few years, and I guess it's just nice to finally get that needed win and punch our ticket to state.
I saw the Bart Hills video on social media. A lot of celebrating going on.
Yep, yeah, a lot of celebrating. You know, I guess that was our goal the whole year, and then, you know, we just kind of had to play the game, see how it shook out, and, you know, we had a very good game against Mineota, a pretty complete game, you know, pitching and offensively, and it was, you know, just nice to close it out in a low-pressure situation. With the Madison teams, we don't seem to have that often, so we usually like to keep games close. So
can't cruise to a victory.
So very exciting that we were able to do that, able to enjoy it, and just happy for the guys and all our fans.
All right, let's recap then. Last weekend, Morris hosted the Region 9C tournament. And let's recap that big win over the Mineota Mudhens.
Yep, so we started off the day in Morris against Mineota, kicked off the Saturday tournament at noon. And, you know, with those first two games, both being state qualifying games, you know, very big matchups. For us, we had Brandon Bornhorst going on the mound, you know, and he was fresh off coming off that victory against the Dumont Saints the week prior. And, you know, Brandon's kind of always been our horse for us. And, you know, with it being a state qualifying game, we wanted to make sure that we could get him out there and ride him as long as possible. For Mineota, you know, they threw one of their mainstays on the mound too, Danny Hennon. So, you know, two good teams. Pretty fairly matched, I would say, as far as the series or lifelong series. It seems like we go to Mineota, we lose there. They come to Madison, we win. So,
well, you were just a couple weeks before that, you were down in Mineota.
Yep. We were down in Mineota a couple weeks ago to end the regular season. And, you know, then, too, we had started Brandon Bornhorst on the mound. And, you know, that one didn't go our way. We lost 4-2. But, you know, that game, we did hit the ball hard. So we kind of felt like our bats were coming around as we get going through this game today. You know, we'll see that our bats were kind of firing on all cylinders. So, you know, for us, we were beating the away team just because we were the lower seed. And, you know, first two innings, we were able to, you know, get a guy on in each inning, but weren't able to get him moved any further than that. But, you know, Landon Sherm, he reached on a fielder's choice in the third inning. He's kind of been a guy that's kind of set the tone all year for us. If he gets on base, there's a really good chance we're going to get him to second and then have some scoring opportunities with a big hit. But, you know, with Landon reaching base in the third inning, Brandon Hill was able to get a hit and an RBI to score him, so we were able to go up 1-0, which is, you know, seems to be very huge to score that first run in these playoff series. And, you know, Carter Amlin followed up that Brandon Hill hit with a two-run home run of his own to make it 3-0. And then Dylan Hilliard walk, Evan Kells hit, and a Matt Munson hit, an RBI. You know, that all of a sudden made it 4-0 in a third inning. So it was nice to put up a crooked number against them. And, you know, Mineota came back in the bottom of the third, or Brandon pitching, and it just kind of seemed like it was 1-2-3 inning, 1-2-3 inning. And, you know, we look back, Brandon gave up one hit, a double in the first inning, and then just kind of cruised along from there. And, you know, we were able to, you know, once you establish that lead, you know, our goal should be then to keep tacking on runs. And, you know, we were able to get a guy on base in the fourth inning, eventually scratch across two more runs to make it 6-0. And, you know, Brandon Bornhorst kept working. You know, I think he only allowed runners on base in three innings. And, you know, it was 6-0 by the time the sixth inning rolled around. And, you know, I think there was a couple errors that led to a couple guys reaching base and, you know, a missed tag allegedly at third base. You know, got a couple of decent threat with one out. And, you know, if they allow a run or two runs there, you never know what kind of game could get made of it. But, you know, Mineota ended up driving a ball to center field. And Landon Sherm, which seems like he's been doing all year long, made a spectacular diving catch and was able to save a run there and were able to get out of the inning. So, you know, from there on, we scratched across two more runs in the eighth inning to make it 8-0, and then Brandon Bornhorst just kept on, you know, humming strikes, not walking anybody, you know, 1-2-3 inning after 1-2-3 inning, and that was the ball game. So, you know, finished with 8-0. We did have three errors ourselves, but, you know, with Brandon Bornhorst taking care of business on the mound, which was very exciting to see. He went all nine, picked up the win, had eight strikeouts, zero walks, and one hit. So, you know, for the kids that are sitting on the bench that are still playing high school games or our younger pitchers, you know, it's hopefully they're learning some lessons by watching Brandon work. He works fast, he changes things up, he changes speeds, and he doesn't walk anybody, which is very key to winning a lot of these ball games.
That's right. Yeah, fantastic job by Brandon Bornhorst there. And I've even had a couple people tell me about Sherm's two catches, right?
Yep, yes, yeah. He had pretty nice catch in the first inning, too, you know, right after that double that Mineota had hit the first inning. You know, that was key because, you know, if they score first off of that double, you know, it could maybe just change the whole outcome of the game. So, you know, but they had that double and Landon just kind of floating over to center. It almost seemed like he didn't know where the ball was and all of a sudden made a spectacular catch kind of in the final moment. So, you know, it was very, very awesome to see. And, you know, for us, you know, to finally get the bats just kind of clicking, to put some runs on the board for Brandon, maybe take some pressure off of him. You know, we did have 12 hits on the day. So,
nice.
You know, multiple guys had multiple hits, a lot of production throughout the lineup. You know, we talk about him kind of setting the tone at the top of the order. You know, he scored three of our eight runs, but he actually didn't have a hit on the day. So,
how'd he get on base?
Yeah, so fielder's choice, an error a couple times, hit by pitch. You know, he seems to get hit by pitch quite often. So, you know, but anything that we need him to do, it seems like he's getting the job done lately, and it's great to see.
Who had the RBIs for Madison? Yep. Yeah, you had one, didn't you?
Yep. Yeah, I had one. But, yeah, Brandon Hill. He had two hits and a run and an RBI, and then Carter Hamlin had a really big day at the plate with three, all in total of four RBIs. Dylan Lilliard had a hit, a run scored, and two RBIs. Evan Kells had a hit, and then Matt Munson had two hits and an RBI. Matt Inger had a hit, a double in the second inning, but you know Matt, he's dealing with a strained quad, so he's kind of laboring through there. We also lost Evan Kells kind of halfway through the game to a leg injury. So, you know, to lose two key veterans or not get necessarily the production we would normally get from them, you know, and still come away with this 8-0 victory with 12 hits in that state qualifying game, you know, is pretty huge. So,
good.
You know, it's just going forward. Hopefully we can get those guys healthy and get them back. I'm not sure about this weekend. I haven't really talked to them to see how they're doing. But, you know, if we are down those two guys, we'll just have to have next man up. And, you know, we all play baseball. We all love the game. And just gives opportunities to other guys to step up and earn some more playing time.
Okay, so an 8-0 win over Mineota last Saturday up in Morrison. That clinched a berth in the state amateur baseball tournament. And, what, the second time recently that the Mallards have been there?
Yep, since we got started back up in 2004, this is the second time that we have made it to the state tournament now. Just so happens to be both times that we made it to the state tournament. The high school team also
made
it to the state tournament in the same year. So just kind of ironic.
2012.
Yep. So 2012, 2024. You know, it's
are some of those guys that were on that Lockerbell team, state team, playing for the Mallards?
Brandon Bornhorst and Brandon Hill.
Oh, yeah.
And I assume Dylan Lilliard would have been at that time, too. But, yeah, Brandon Bornhorst. He actually, after that state run in high school, he actually took that rest of the summer off to kind of rest. So he wasn't on the Mallards team. But, yeah, the last Mallards team that went to state, it was, you know, myself, Matt Inger, Evan Kells, and Darby Biergon were a part of that team.
Who was your pitcher?
So, a lot of changeover. Aaron Olson was one of our pitchers.
And you get to draft some people,
yeah,
too, right?
And then the region tournament was set up a little different back then.
Okay.
Not all the teams made the region tournament, and you would actually draft during the region tournament.
Oh.
So, Chris Fellows from Mortonville, who was one of Matt Inger's good buddies during college, you know, we drafted him, and yeah, he actually had pitched the game that clinched going to state at that time. So, you know, fun to do it again, fun for the fans, fun for us, and, you know, hopefully that's not just it. That shouldn't be the only goal, just to make it to state. You know, it should be to get there and compete, and hopefully we do that this year.
Yeah, and we'll talk about it later, but we got one more game to talk about first, and that was on Sunday.
Yep, so staying in the winner's bracket, ended up facing Clinton on Sunday at noon to kick things off. You know, Clinton had to play Morris in the second state qualifying game, And I guess they actually took care of Morris pretty easily. They really hit the ball on Saturday. You know, I think one of the Ottoman kids, I think, had three doubles and like six RBIs. So, you know, they really took care of business, beat Morris 11-1. But, you know, looking back to this earlier this year when we faced Clinton, you know, up in Clinton, it seems like we've been playing some poor games recently. But, you know, we did lose up in Clinton 10-0, I believe it was, in seven innings. So, but we know that we're not necessarily that kind of team. We knew that we could compete and make it a lot closer, and then you never know what the outcome in the game is. But, you know, for us, away team again, you know, in the first inning, Landon Sherm, he was hit by a pitch, and we sacked him over with a sack bunt, and he actually was able to score on Dylan Lilliard base hit to make it 1-0. And, you know, that's usually pretty key, is to score that first run and get ahead. But, you know, for pitching, we did have Wyatt Halverson on the mound. You know, it wasn't the best start that we had. We gave up a base hit to start the game, and then a couple base hits, and, you know, all of a sudden Clinton scores three runs in the first inning. You know, it's one thing is they did score. We have, I think, the first maybe four or five guys reach that first inning, and then the same thing in the third inning. I think the first four guys had reached base for them, and, you know, it's to almost just to scratch our way out of those innings and not give up more runs was probably the best we could hope for. So, you know, after that first inning, we were down 3-1. You know, third inning, we were able to get one back. Landon Sherm had a base hit and scored again, kind of as he goes, we go. And, you know, that made it 3-2. But, you know, then we were following up with that third inning, a little bit of pitching trouble, a little bit of defense trouble, and all of a sudden gave up two more runs. So that made it 5-2. Going through the middle innings, you know, we were getting guys on base, but it seemed like we'd only get one guy on base per inning. We were kind of missing that big hit. I don't think we had an extra base hit the whole game on Sunday, but, you know, both teams just kind of cruised along from there. You know, Brandon Hill came in for us and threw the next four innings after the third inning. And, you know, he did a very good job keeping us in the game. You know, we only gave up one more run to Clinton. And then we had Dylan Lilliard come in and pitch the ninth. He had two quick outs, then a walk and a base hit, but he was able to strike out the last guy to get out of it, or in the eighth inning, rather. So, you know, it was nice to see Dylan Geiser get on the mound and throw for us a little bit, see what he can do, see if he can help us out later on. But, yeah, it just so happened to be in this game. We'd get some base runners, but just couldn't get more going than that. And, you know, we did have Clinton had seven hits. We had seven hits, so we were equaling them out there. Just came down to the walks, and then for us not getting that timely hit or not getting that extra base hit. You know, if we had one extra base hit, you know, throughout the game in a timely position,
timing,
you know,
hits.
Yeah, you're all of a sudden looking at maybe one or two more runs, and then just it's a whole new ball game from that point on. So we were right there, just didn't happen to go our way on Sunday.
All right. Stats on that game then?
Yep, so the stats on that game, Landon Sherm had two hits, two RBIs, or two hits, two runs scored, rather, and two stolen bases. Brandon Hill had a base hit. Dylan Lilliard had two big hits and two RBIs. Both those hits had scored Landon Sherm. Blake Wolfschlager had a hit. Dylan Geiser had a hit. So, you know, all in total, seven hits. You know, it's just needed a few more to help us out on the day.
Okay. All right. So that was up in Morris last weekend. Now, today, the Region 9C tournament moves back to Madison.
Yep.
Today.
Yep. So, yeah, we're lucky enough that we get to host again today. And then I guess what's nice is that we're still playing in it. You know, it maybe makes it a little bit harder worker-wise, you know, when we're playing in, people want to watch our games, and the Mallards can't work during our own games.
Yep.
But, no, still fun to be able to host. But we're waiting on the winner of the Morris Eagles, Mineota Mudhead. And so they'll start things at 2 o'clock this afternoon. And then we'll play the winner of that at 4:30. So that first game is a state qualifying game between those two teams, since our region gets three teams this year. So a big game to kick things off on Saturday. Hopefully we got a good crowd. And, you know, this Saturday and Sunday, it's a last weekend of baseball in Madison. So if you're in town and have nothing else going on, just stop on down and, you know, watch some baseball at 2 o'clock, and the Mallards will finish out the day on Saturday at 4:30.
That's right. So Mineota and Morris At 2 o'clock?
2 o'clock,
and
yep.
They travel well, too. They bring some good fans, both those teams,
yep,
don't they?
Yeah, I think they're since their success and maybe getting a little bit younger, it's kind of changed their following a little bit.
Okay.
So, and a lot more fans than they used to. And then with it being a state qualifying game, I would hope that they would each be bringing quite a few fans.
Oh, yeah,
so.
They will. Yep. And then the winner of that will play the Madison Mallards around 4:30. And you'll hear that baseball game right here on Q92. I'll be there broadcasting that game.
Yep, so. Yep. Should be a good day for baseball. I think the forecast looks pretty favorable.
Yep.
You know, maybe we like to play when it's 100 degrees.
No, I don't like that.
You get to sit in an air-conditioned press box, Paul. You'll be fine.
How hot it was, but I didn't break a sweat.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't know whose idea was that to put air conditioning in that new press box, but I owe him a steak dinner.
Yeah, there you go.
Then Sunday is the championship game of Region 9C, and it's important for seedings too, isn't it?
Yep, yeah, so that's what we're all, I guess, us three remaining teams in the loser's bracket, that's what we're kind of working towards is, you know, getting to that region championship on Sunday. You know, with us all having a loss, you know, you do have to beat the Clinton Cards twice, I guess, to be declared champions. It's a double elimination game. But, you know, so that first game on Sunday will kick off at 11, and if any of the remaining teams are victorious over Clinton, then another game will follow immediately to determine the champion. And it's a big game, or the championship, and getting that one seed is a big deal, just because I believe with how the state tournament is set up, I believe that one seed gets the first weekend off. I guess traditionally that's how it's been. You know, there is no bracket that we talked about earlier, Paul.
Not yet, anyway, to see
where you could be playing ahead of time. So it's kind of a wait and see, finish out the weekend, and I think we find out when and where and who will be playing Monday night.
Okay. So. And, yeah, for sure the Mallards are in the state. Just don't know where they're going. There's three sites, I believe. Jordan,
Belle Plaine, Green Isle, and I think maybe Shakopee. But I think Shakopee might be for the bigger class.
Yep. Yep.
So either
Jordan or Green Isle.
Most likely. So, yeah, should be a lot of fun. You know, it's been many, many years since we've done it. The last time it was up in St. Cloud at those two nice fields. So it'll be nice to see some of these other town ballparks, see the improvements that they've done. And, you know, maybe it'll get some ideas for us for future improvements.
Yeah. You know, if you want state baseball, I'm going to put a plug in here for Jim's Clothing, right?
Yep. Yeah. Okay. Yep, well, that sale actually ended noon Friday.
Oh,
so if you're listening and you didn't get one, you're out of luck. So you can maybe try reaching out to them. You know, it might just be that you won't get the shirt before the state tournament. But, you know, that's one of those things. It's one thing that we do. It's to, you know, I guess make the fans aware. But, you know, if you don't have any Mallards gear, here's an opportunity. There was an opportunity to get a shirt. And, you know, it's just one of those things with the state tournament. We want to get as many people to the game as possible, and you know, the more fans that are supporting our teams from our region, you know, it looks better for us and keeping that three teams that make the state tournament in the future. So, so come on out to the state tournament the following weekend, too, wherever we're playing.
All right. Thanks, Matt, for coming in. Good luck this afternoon, and we'll have that game for you around 4:30 today.
Yep. Thank you very much, Paul.
Matt Munson. State-bound Madison Mallard player manager, I should say. And we'll take a break and we'll finish the coaches show up after this.
Sparkling ice water. Goodbye, plain. Hello, plain awesome. Sparkling ice is a fizzy, flavorful, and not bland beverage without all the calories. They're one of the biggest brands in the sparkling water category. If you're looking to put a little sparkle in your step, look no further than the delicious lineup of waters. Sparkling Ice, distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
You'll find quality meat for your family's table at the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson. Stop by right downtown or give them a call, 320-769-2238. The Country Butcher will accept credit cards, checks, EBT, SNAP, and cash. Store hours Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Sunday by appointment. That's the Country Butcher in Dawson. They're a cut above the rest.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Paul Ramo back here in the studio wrapping up the Baseball Coaches Show for another Saturday. You know, good luck to the Madison Mallards today. They play around 4:30, as you just heard Matt mention, and we'll have that right here on Q92. And then Monday, high school sports practices begin, and we'll start the high school coaches show, I believe, next Saturday, along with, we'll talk with Matt Munson as well. So Dick Newman will be back in the studio with the high school coaches show next Saturday. A lot of stuff to talk about. Thanks for listening, everybody, to the Baseball Coaches Show this summer. Thanks for listening to the Saturday Morning Baseball Coaches Show here on Q92. Tune in next week at 9 o'clock with more interviews with area baseball coaches right here on Q92. See you next Saturday morning. Have a great day.
Let's check out some things going on around the area. A come-and-go bridal shower for Derry Buer, bride-to-be of Ryan Sumner, will be today from 10 a.m. to noon at 2366 230th Street in Madison. The Canby FFA is having a car wash today from 9 to 3. That'll be over at K&M Auto Wash and Pet Wash at 901 St. Olaf Avenue North in Canby. Get the ultimate wash from the Canby FFA by free will donation. If you're looking for something to do this weekend, don't forget the Stevens County Fair in Morris in full swing. That continues on Saturday and Sunday. Join the fun. It's the 126th annual Swift County Fair in Appleton, August 14th through the 18th. Live music will include the White Sidewalls, Johnny Holm, Larry Olson Band, Phil Vassar, Ruckus, Neil McCoy, and Hill Country Truckers. Gig Noonan will be on stage. All kinds of other entertainment, Midwest rides, and concessions on the Midway. Check them out online at swiftcountyfair.org and make plans to be at the Swift County Fair in Appleton, August 14th through the 18th.
Here's your Q92 Country weather for western Minnesota and eastern South Dakota. Mainly sunny skies today with daytime highs approaching 73. Winds out of the northwest, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows level off around 52 tonight, 76 tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 74 Monday with a slight chance of rain showers. 77, a blend of clouds and sun Tuesday. A peek at the extended shows, 78 Wednesday, 80 Thursday, and 80 on Friday. Another look at the short range, high of 73 today. Lows level off around 52 tonight. We should top off around 76 tomorrow. From the Weatherology Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Paul Frobley on Q92 Country. Right now, it's 63 degrees.
At Q92 Radio, it's 9:34. Great music for Haydenville, Providence, Cerro Gordo, and Lacaparl Village on KLQP FM 92.1.
Friends so far. could do.